I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 14th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's show will feature three gay Christians, hence the title, Three Blind Mice. This statement of faith was taken from the website of gaychristian.net. I will address my responses to the executive director, Justin Lee. The statement of faith begins, "We worship one God, creator of heaven and earth, who is revealed to us in the Bible as the eternal I Am." Bad news, Justin. The feeling isn't mutual. Let's see what the God you worship had to say about you in Leviticus 18, verse 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Justin, the eternal I Am doesn't sound like he wants to be your friend. By the way, the penalty for your lifestyle is capital punishment. The statement of faith continues. "We proclaim that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, the sinless Son of God, who was crucified for our sins and rose again on the third day." Justin, you can proclaim all you want. That still won't make it true. He wrote, "We affirm that the Bible is holy scripture, divinely inspired and authoritative, and not merely a human work." Well then, Justin, I'm afraid I have some really bad news for you. I took this out of your divinely inspired, authoritative, holy scripture, Leviticus 20, verse 13. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Justin, are you sure this is the moral code you want to support? It continues, "We believe that worship, prayer, obedience, Bible study, love, fellowship, forgiveness, and service are all important aspects in the life of a Christian believer, having been saved by the grace of God and not by our own human efforts." Justin, worship is how slaves relate to their masters. Prayer is talking to yourself while the precious few years of your life drain out forever. Obedience is already off the table for you people, as proven by your own holy scriptures. Bible study would be equivalent to Grimm's fairy tales, except that the brothers Grimm never imagined a monster as hideously evil as the one you don't just believe in, but actually worship. Love. Sorry, Justin, but Christian love doesn't include you guys. See the verses I cited earlier. Fellowship. Ditto, Justin. Need I remind you guys of Proposition 8 in California? That proposition wasn't being pushed by atheists, but by your fellow Christians, especially Mormons. So the fellowship is only going in one direction. Forgiveness. Are you kidding? What have Christians forgiven? Certainly not homosexuality. Go ask a Mormon. Service. You mean as in the military? Sure, gays have been welcomed with open arms in our Christian-dominated military. If these are all important aspects in the life of a Christian believer, and none of them apply to you, what do you get out of it? Ah, of course, salvation. You're tolerating all this intoleration because you believe that the ghost who lives in the sky will let you live forever with him in fairyland. That certainly makes it all worthwhile. He wrote, "We believe that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Christians are full participants in God's kingdom." Well, Justin, you may believe that, but apparently God failed to get the memo, and so did all the other Christians. Full participation would include the right to marry, which last time I checked was still being denied to you in most states. You know who has supported your demands for equality? Well, we know it's not the Christians, as they are the ones fighting hardest against you. It is the atheists. You know, the ones who will be burning in hell for all eternity. And that threat of eternal torture is what keeps you tied to Christianity, despite being hated by your fellow Christians. He wrote, "And that the ways of holiness and the ways of sinfulness are equally available to them as to others. Recognizing this, we strive to live holy lives." Justin, that statement was a complete contradiction. If you are striving to live holy lives, why do you continue to engage in acts condemned by God Himself? That doesn't make any sense at all. He wrote, "Turning to prayer, Scripture, and the leading of the Holy Spirit to discern God's will." Justin, God already told you His will. No homosexuality upon penalty of death. He couldn't have made it any clearer. Is there one among you with even the least amount of reading comprehension? He wrote, "We affirm the need for the body of Christ to be united in service to God." Unfortunately, Justin, all other Christians don't see it that way. Apparently, they are the ones who actually read the Bible. He said, "To that end, we recognize that personal conviction plays a part in many of the specific elements of Christian practice. We affirm that love and respect is owed to each member of this community as brothers and sisters in Christ." Now, Justin, if only you could get Christians to agree with that, you could be open and honest and still be accepted for whom you are. Then your only problem would still be God. And the statement of faith concludes, "And this despite differences in personal conviction that will encompass questions involving sex, intimate relationships, and the great debate. We look forward to being resurrected with Christ on the final day." Justin, I wouldn't count on that if I were you. Here's another verse you have conveniently skipped over. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." End quote. Justin, it's better to enjoy the life you know you've got than to wait for one that may never come. Gay Christian number 2 is Rick Brentlinger from the website Gay Christian 101. His essay, "Shrine Prostitutes." Before I begin, Rick claims that he actually hears God speaking to him, and in fact, quotes God. Let's begin. If conservative scholars we've quoted on this page are right, that shrine, cult, temple, prostitutes were a major problem in ancient Israel, and I believe they are right on this point, Rick, I'm shocked. I would never have guessed that you would agree with those scholars who just happened to provide you with a nifty little rationalization that allows you to reinterpret embarrassing verses in a way that makes them point to others and takes all the stigma away from you. What a surprise. He continues, "It makes more sense to understand Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13 as prohibiting the primary form, shrine prostitution, in which homosexual intercourse was practiced in Israel, but not as a universal prohibition of homosexual practice, which is unrelated to fertility goddess worship." No, Rick, it doesn't make more sense. The words in Leviticus couldn't be any clearer. The fact that you can convince yourself that they mean otherwise only demonstrates what all Christian apologists prove on a regular basis. that ghost worshippers are willing to sink to any level necessary in a desperate attempt to explain away embarrassing verses found in their ancient holy scriptures. The reason why is because if you lose your faith, you truly believe that an invisible ghost will keep his promise to torture you forever. Until you conquer that fear, Rick, you will forever remain trapped by this mental virus that forces you to remain in a state of complete intellectual dishonesty. Rick continues, in plainer words, Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13 were not intended to prohibit lesbian practice, a committed, faithful, non-cultic relationship between two women. Lesbianism is not mentioned or addressed anywhere in the Old Testament. Rick, see what I mean about intellectual dishonesty? You purposely ignored the New Testament because it does address lesbianism. If I had to live my life in utter dishonesty as you do, I think I would rather just end it all right now. Besides, if your invisible ghost is real, why would you waste another minute down here on Earth anyway? For some reason, none of you ghost worshippers seem to be in much of a hurry to see the big guy. And after reading your Bible, believe me, I can understand why that is. And Rick concludes by saying, and Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13 were never intended to prohibit a committed, faithful, non-cultic relationship between two men. Rick, unless that relationship were sexual. On that point, your Bible is quite clear. And the third gay Christian, Toby Johnson. His essay is titled, The Cause of Homosexuality According to Jesus. Homosexuals are born that way. It begins. There's an ongoing joke about Jesus' ideas on homosexuality. A pamphlet is titled, What Jesus Said About Homosexuality, and you open it, and it's blank. Page after page, blank. Toby, you should notice that that pamphlet contains no contradictions, making it far more accurate than your Bible. He wrote, of course that's true. Jesus never mentioned homosexuality. So you have to wonder, if Jesus was God, as Catholics believe, second person of the Blessed Trinity, consubstantial with the Father, and so gifted at least in some way with divine omniscience, so he'd know there would one day be a terrible problem in Christianity and culture over homosexuality, gay rights, and same-sex marriage, why didn't he say anything specific? Toby, you could ask that same question about nuclear weapons, space exploration, alternative medicine, capitalism, communism. In fact, the Bible doesn't say anything about anything that wasn't known in the first century. What a coinkydink, huh? He wrote, why didn't he say that he was abolishing all the rules in the Old Testament except the rule against homosexual intercourse? Toby, because that would have contradicted his statement that all the rules in the Old Testament would remain intact until he came into his kingdom. Toby, why do you need to be reminded of that by an atheist? Toby continues, why didn't he say anything? Toby, you should go ask Rick over at Gay Christian 101. God actually talks to him. Maybe you could offer Rick a guest post on your website in return for an answer from God. Toby wrote, did he just keep forgetting to mention it? Toby, that's blasphemy. How could an all-knowing God forget anything? Toby continues, the closest thing he did say is very instructive. In speaking about protecting the sanctity of marriage, Jesus said, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. The disciples said to him, If the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. Toby, his disciples don't sound all that bright, do they? Toby continues, but he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. So what were eunuchs? Eunuchs were men who didn't have sex with women and or couldn't reproduce, who were therefore considered safe to be around women in the harem. Since they had no children, they had no vested interest in leaving a fortune to the next generation, so they could be employed in government and civil service because they had no reason to be crooked or seek advantage for their own sons. Eunuchs were sometimes men who had been castrated in order to serve in these functions. That's the eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. Eunuchs who were also men who just didn't look very masculine, who weren't interested in marrying or having sex with women, who were sissies. Eunuchs included men who were obviously what we'd call today homosexual. Those clearly were what Jesus referred to as eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. So Jesus said, homosexuals are born that way. Toby, it was fun to watch the machinations that your mind went through to tease out the conclusion you so desperately wanted. Sadly, it was also tragic to witness what religion does to the mind. But thanks for showing, everyone. I can remember when gays had pride. Unlike today's gays who grovel at the feet of religious bigots, desperately looking for an excuse for their abomination. I prefer the proud gays of the past, who didn't make feeble, unproven scientific claims to justify their choices, but boldly claimed the same right as heterosexuals to love whomever they wanted. Toby, you don't need to explain to anyone why you love or whom. You only need to explain hate. He continues, the other class of eunuchs are those who make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The Catholic Church has used that quotation to justify requiring celibacy and non-sexuality of its priests. But eunuch means a man who can't reproduce, not a man who isn't sexual. Indeed, some men were castrated in the old days specifically so they would stay young and pretty and could be sexual. Alexander the Great's lover, Bagoas, the Persian boy, is a prime example. Toby, unconfirmed speculation become facts to those, like you, who never require evidence for things you want to believe. He wrote, so eunuchs are men who choose the kingdom of heaven over marrying and raising a family. Eunuchs are men who choose to live in the present. Toby, you need to drift back down to reality. All life forms on earth live in the present, whether they choose to or not. He wrote, where the kingdom of heaven is to be found, many modern gay men would fit that definition of eunuch. Listeners, now that you've heard Toby's attempt to rationalize the cognitive dissonance of being both Christian and gay, check out what he wrote about the 2004 election, in which George Bush creamed Toby's favorite, John Kerry. Quote, personally, I think the election was rigged. I think the voting machines were programmed to give Bush a victory, whether the people voted for him or not. I think we have just seen an historic coup d'etat occur in the United States. Lovers of democracy, the Constitution, and freedom should be very concerned. End quote. Listeners, this guy claims to be a PhD. I'm more inclined to believe he's an NUT. And now we move to the science segment. Today, Mach 1000 shockwave lights supernova remnant. When a star explodes as a supernova, it shines brightly for a few weeks or months before fading away. Yet the material blasted outward from the explosion still glows hundreds or thousands of years later, forming a picturesque supernova remnant. What powers such long-lived brilliance? In the case of Tycho's supernova remnant, astronomers have discovered that a reverse shockwave racing inward at Mach 1000 is heating the remnant and causing it to emit X-ray light. Tycho's supernova was witnessed by astronomer Tycho Brahe in 1572. The appearance of this new star stunned those who thought the heavens were constant and unchanging. At its brightest, the supernova rivaled Venus before fading from sight a year later. Modern astronomers know that the event Tycho and others observed was a Type 1A supernova, caused by the explosion of a white dwarf star. The explosion spewed elements like silicon and iron into space at speeds of more than 17 million kilometers per hour. When that ejecta rammed into surrounding interstellar gas, it created a shockwave, the equivalent of a cosmic sonic boom. That shockwave continues to move outward today at about Mach 300. The interaction also created a violent reverse shockwave that speeds inward at Mach 1000. The reverse shockwave heats gases inside the supernova remnant and causes them to fluoresce. The process is similar to what lights household fluorescent bulbs, except that the supernova remnant glows in X-rays rather than visible light. The reverse shockwave is what allows scientists to see supernova remnants and study them hundreds of years after the supernova occurred. Researchers found that electrons crossing the reverse shockwave are rapidly heated by a process that is still unknown. Their observations represent the first clear evidence for such efficient, collisionless electron heating at the reverse shock of Tycho's supernova remnant. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today's quote is anonymous. Prayer has no place in public schools, just like facts have no place in organized religion.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.